Thank goodness for the Rockies. Padres win. They get off the schneid. Was it the most impressive win of the year? Maybe not, but the pitching was good. Randy Vasquez, 9 strikeouts, no walks. Bullpen unscathed, and the offense remains the offense. So we'll talk about it here for the next hour. Padres do pick up that win over the Rockies after losing 2 straight to the Reds, and they're in a spot now where you're basically looking at, you know, a series that maybe you have to sweep to really vie here for this division. They've got 3 games remaining here in the series. So make your way in. John and Jim with you for the next hour. Please subscribe to this channel. We're past 9,600 subscribers. We can get to 9,700 at some point soon with your help. So if you haven't subscribed to the channel, please do that. Thank you for the super chats. We really do appreciate your longtime support of this channel. If there's something on your mind, if there's a comment you want us to react to, if you just want to support the channel, click the dollar sign below the chat box. We'll get to all of the super chats here tonight, and smash the like button for us. You can follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. It's one of those nights against the Rockies. I mean, not a ton really to react to. Randy Vasquez, encouraging. Offensively, Jackson Merrill homers, encouraging. He's been good for the last 5 or 6 games. Luis Arraez, 3 hits, encouraging. But Manny, conversation I'm sure we'll have at some point here tonight. He goes 0-for-4 again. I mean, he's admired in a half-season-long slump at this point, Jim. But the Padres take game one. They had to have the game. I mean, let's be honest. They had to have the game. They win the game, and now we'll see if they can keep doing it this weekend.
John, it's a blip.
Yeah, that's what Schilt said post-game about Manny's struggles, but that's not true at all. That's a lie.
You know what I thought of when I'm watching Randy Vasquez? Now, it is against the Rockies. His last 2 starts have been against the Rockies. So
yeah, that's right. I know.
Take, you know, factor that into the take which I'm about to have. They should have never replaced Randy Vasquez with Nestor Cortez.
Right. Yeah, that's fair.
That might have cost you 2 wins, 3 wins.
Yeah, it could have cost them. Yeah, that's fair.
You know, the Nestor Cortez experiment was an absolute failure. And Randy Vasquez, I know it's 2 games against the Rockies where he pitched fantastic, but it's actually really not just 2 games against the Rockies. It's an entire year where he's been pretty damn solid for you. And they've won more often than they've lost games that Randy Vasquez has started for you this season. I think it just, you know, look, I'm glad that they pivoted. I'm glad that they said we're enough of Nestor Cortez. You're going on the Phantom IL, right? You have an elbow problem, right? And they went back to Randy Vasquez, but I mean, that potentially cost you a couple wins there, right?
Yeah, 100%.
But Randy Vasquez was fantastic tonight. Once again, 6 innings, no earned runs, 9 strikeouts. That's got to be a season high for him. It is a season high for Randy Vasquez. His last 2 starts, 12 innings, 2 earned runs allowed. Dude. Fantastic. Fantastic. That was the most entertaining, and the Jackson Merrill home run. Those were the most entertaining parts of tonight's game. And maybe Mason Miller out there just throwing heat.
Yeah, just dominating.
We were out there. By the way, back and forth. Like, there's no, I mean, it's unfair watching hitters try to hit off of Mason Miller.
We do this so often. Now I'm like turning it to you. I put that Manny, I'm not sure if there's a blip for Manny. His OPS is under 600 for his last 81 games. I'm at 700 because it was 699 coming into today.
Oh, you're an idiot. 80.
Oops. Well, still, the point is the point. Manny Machado is not here to have a sub 700 OPS for half a year. And that's what he's had. I don't know what it is. 697 after tonight, 0-for-4. I mean, he is really, really struggled. I don't want to start there, but certainly we're going to get there. I like your take on Randy Vasquez. I mean, he's been very effective for this team. And he's put them in a position where you need guys like Vasquez, right, to get to that top wild card or second wild card or shoot, maybe even vie for this division. And then, you know, you think about what they did in this game offensively, and it was not a lot. They're facing a guy with his 13 ERA. And Mike Schilt said he was really good. The stuff came out well, or whatever he said. And, you know, Arraez did have 3 hits in this game, which is encouraging. He's done that a number of times this year, even with his batting average way off his career batting average. And then Jackson Merrill, I mean, I think maybe if there's some, like, slivers of hope, Jim, looking beyond 2 weeks, Fernando Tatis Jr., I know he's hitless today, but forget about that. Four homers in his last 14 games. Jackson Merrill has come to life over this homestand. Four extra base hits this homestand. I think maybe five over his last handful of games or whatever it is. That's hopeful. When we talk about Merrill and Tatis and Arraez contributing, we'll get to Machado, but there's a little bit of hope out there maybe if you want to be the glass half full guy based on like Merrill and Tatis here recently.
Yeah, Merrill's playing much better. Tatis has been better. Arraez, the three hits tonight, better. But they're still missing like one of their main guys being like red hot. Like they're not red hot. Merrill's hitting over 300 this last week or so. That's good, but he's not hitting like 380. He's hitting 308. Toddy over his last, 15 games, 234. Now the home runs have gone up, but still, Luis Arraez over his last 15, 278. Okay. They're doing enough in like moments, right? But still the offense is just, it's the main problem with this team. I saw the tweet tonight from the Padres tonight. I'm like, guys, beat the fucking Rockies. You're supposed to beat the Rockies. The Rockies are 40. The Rockies are 40 and 107.
What did the tweet say exactly?
The tweet said, hold on. It said, it must be bark at the park because all we see is a bunch of dogs.
DAWGS. Like, you beat the Rockies 2-0.
Glad you beat the Rockies because the alternative is like scorched earth.
Yeah.
So at least, look, you do have to celebrate that they actually pulled off the game.
I agree. But I don't know if we need to be using dogs, DAWGS, tonight.
I know.
From like the social media accounts.
It's. Yeah, it is. It's whatever. I mean, it's one of the worst social media accounts in the entirety of the sport. But hey, they got to do a job, so it's fine.
I'm not going to take this out. Listen, it's a little cringe. Here's the only acceptable weekend. Like, the only thing that's going to fully change my tune back, I think, is winning the next 3 days.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that's going to give me that, it might be false hope, but certainly hope, is if they win the next 3 days. If they get out of Sunday having 1-4 straight against the Rockies, okay, I'll play the game again. I'll go down the path with you.
That's what I said. They got to sweep the Rockies here. And tonight was a good start.
It's 3-1 is like, you can't do worse than that. So I think 3-1 is just the expectation. Are you new to the show, dude?
Master of reality. That's a very ironic name because we give you the reality of things. And if you can't handle it.
I want to ask Master of Reality this. Do you honestly believe in watching the Padres here, let's say over the last 2 or 3 weeks, that this team is capable of making a World Series run? Because maybe they will. Nobody knows. But I'm just, with my own two eyes, I'm like, this doesn't look like a World Series team right now. And by the way, if they're not a World Series team, are you going to be like, are you cool with it? Well, it's a good year. Nice trade deadline. I mean, are you that thrilled with a 90-win season and second place in the NL West and not reaching the World Series? I mean, Michael King, who plays for the team, right, just said that if we don't win the World Series, it's not a successful season. So I don't know, man. I watch more than Master of Reality, I promise you that. And I cover it way more than Master of Reality, and so does Jim. And I consume it day in and day out, and I tell it like it is, which is what Padres fans deserve. If you want to live in this alternate reality where you think their play is acceptable here recently and you think they're going to win the World Series, we're just going to flip a switch and everything's going to come together. I'm here for it. I hope it happens too. It's sports, but all I can use is like my experiences and my opinions and put together a cohesive thought. And my cohesive thought is they had a freaking team meeting in Denver on Saturday over breakfast. So it's not all, roses right now. I mean, they beat the Rockies, which is all they could do tonight. And we'll see if they can. Congratulations. Congrats. And how many World Series have you watched? So hopefully this is the year that they can make that run. But if not, you got to be a realist about it.
I spent like 5 minutes talking about how Randy Vasquez was phenomenal, and he's been great. People hear what they want to hear.
He's been very good.
People hear what they want to hear.
Exactly.
It's fine. 100%.
100%. Listen, let's be honest. We're looking at these crowds. It's not the same level of energy. They're not filling the same number of seats. This expectation was sky high a couple of weeks ago, and they've come back to earth. And it's a long year, and maybe they'll turn this thing around before the end of the regular season and postseason, but they got to go prove that. They really do have to go prove that. Okay, except no one grew up in Kansas. I've never even been in. Oh, I have. I've been to Manhattan, Kansas, the Little Apple. I called a game there. Were you there when I called that game between Longwood and Kansas State? Let's get to the first Super of the night. Who cares? I don't have time for Master of Reality, who's like first time in the channel tonight. Sunriser, thank you for the Super. And guys, thanks for hanging out. Please subscribe here on content for Padres fans and smash the like button for us. And thank you for the Supers. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. Sunriser says, Randy has been effective and been lucky for this team. We should ride it with him in the playoffs as well. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to ride with him in the playoffs to start a game like in a best of three series, but he's certainly a reason why you're going to get maybe to a best of three series. But I mean, he's been good here recently. There's no question about it. I don't know if he's been lucky. Like, are you saying he works out of jams? Maybe he works out of jams, but I don't think I'm starting Randy Vasquez. That's me personally, if I have better options.
Strandy Vasquez. Yeah, Randy Vasquez is the type of pitcher that you just absolutely need to get to a postseason, because you need someone to lock down the five in your rotation. And if you get good starts from your fifth man in your rotation, you know, that's a huge help for your team. When your aces are struggling, when your top three are struggling, the back of your rotation, they need to step it up. And I think Randy Vasquez has been huge for this team this year. Do I want him pitching in a postseason game? Absolutely not. But to get through a regular season, you absolutely need Randy Vasquez. Or at least, let me rephrase that. You absolutely need 100%. A Randy Vasquez type of player. Not Randy Vasquez personally, but you need a Randy Vasquez, a guy that's just reliable in the regular season. Not really flashy, not like these great numbers, but he just goes out there and he just gets the job done, and you just win games behind them. So do I want to see him in the postseason? No chance in hell. But for a regular season, you know, like, absolutely get through, like, have him pitch every fifth day, have him be in that fifth spot. He's a much better option than Nestor Cortez, I can tell you that.
I completely agree. Don't let Master of Kansas see this. Because LLM213 says, team won't score versus Dodgers or Phillies pitching. That's not me. That's LLM213. That's not
too negative. It's too negative.
I'm surprised you would say that. I don't see the Padres losing in the postseason.
They're never losing again.
And I don't see them allowing a run, truthfully. I don't see how that would happen. Listen, I won't go this far. We aren't this either. I don't come on here and say they can't. I don't say they can't beat the Dodgers in the postseason. I'll say they can't beat the Phillies in the postseason. I just offer my opinion based on what I'm seeing, and what we've seen is discouraging, specifically on offense, Jim. I mean, they've reverted back to the first half offense, and you can win 2-0, but we know this isn't good enough at Citizens Bank Ballpark or whatever the hell it's called, and we know it's not good enough at Dodger Stadium. You know what I mean? Like, you're gonna have to play better. But tonight they only played the Rockies, and that's the only team they could beat, which is fine.
Like, here's the reality of things. This is not negative, nothing. This is just the reality. The Padres have scored the third fewest runs in the National League. They are 29th in baseball in home runs as a team. Manny Machado, his OPS right now is 785.
That's insane.
Like, that's the reality of their offense, that the top guys in their lineup, Tatis, Manny, Merrill, all have sub 800 OPSs. That's the reality of it right now. And that's the part that you're worried about the most with this team, is when they get to the postseason, can their offense do enough to win playoff games? That's the question.
I mean, it's a fair question. And maybe they do. They popped up a stat post game that I almost fell to the floor and had a heart attack when they showed from bottom to the top, it was their 6 through 9 stats.
They've been amazing.
I was like, holy shit. I took a picture. Hold on. I didn't post it because I was like, I'm like mind blown by it. I'm still like trying to react to it. The graphic said this from the bottom to the top. And this was the 6 through 9 hitters from before August 1st and after August 1st. After August 1st, the Padres 6 through 9 hitters have the top on base percentage in the sport, 360. The top OPS in the sport, 828. Second in slug, second in batting. And before August 1st, the Padres were 22nd in on base percentage, 25th in average, 29th in OPS. And I don't know what it said for slugging percentage because I cut it off. But they went from awful bottom four to like very good. It's very surprising to me because I've been watching these last couple of weeks and they've seemingly come back to earth. But maybe there is long-term hope here in October because they do have a better lineup top to bottom, theoretically, based on a stat like that.
A lot of that has to do with, when Sander was healthy in the lineup, Laureano and O'Hearn, you know, those players are down towards the bottom half of the lineup, 6-7. Now, Merrill's hitting 6 tonight. He hits that home run. That definitely helps. But you're right. Like, Freddie Fermin and O'Hearn and mostly Ramon Laureano have been incredible. Now you're just thinking to yourself, like, man, imagine if the top of the lineup like carried their weight.
Yeah, good point. But now the top of the lineup again with like Merrill, Tatis. I know not tonight, but he's been better. Arise tonight, 3 hits. Like again, there's at least glimmers of hope, although it's just never put together seemingly. I mean, yes, they scored in Colorado this weekend, but let's see if they can do more than that. Jeff, thank you, man. He says, who gets more starts in the playoffs? Cease or, I mean, it has to be Cease. It has to be Cease.
It will be
Cease. Will be Cease.
Right. It will be Cease.
Yeah.
Cease, if everything, you know, lines up for him, he's either starting game 3 of the wild card round or game 1 of the division series.
Yeah, we think they've lined that up because they're starting J.P. Sears tomorrow. They've pushed guys back. And if you look at the math on how they've been pushed, it lines up for Pivetta, King, Cease.
Could change. Absolutely could change.
But it lines up now, and it's not that far out, you know?
They could put Darvish in that spot instead.
They could.
You know, and move Cease off. I don't know.
Let's see. Sunriser, appreciate you following up, man, with the super chat. Appreciate you guys. Please subscribe here on content for Padres fans. And thank you for the super. Padres over the Rockies 2-0 on Thursday night at Petco. And Sunriser says, I thought I heard you guys said he does not have great metrics through Savant. Yeah. Vasquez doesn't, or something. This said, we tried to replace with Nestor JP Sears and we need to get him back. Yeah. I mean, he's been a little bit of a wizard, right? That's kind of been the story of Randy Vasquez's season. And that's to his credit because the numbers are the numbers. Like he's performed, even though the advanced analytics would tell you that he's probably overperformed.
He's given you this year though. I think the one stat that Randy Vasquez has given you, that's the most important stat of them all, is 123 1/3. Yeah, that's how many innings he's pitched for you this season. Probably going to eclipse 130, which is exactly what you're looking for from your fifth starter. You know, we were kind of wondering like who's going to be that guy, who's going to step up, who's going to be their fifth starter, right? Had some names we talked about at the start of the year, and it turned out to be Randy Vasquez, who 123 1/3 innings. I'm going to look right now to see where that is in comparison to the rest of the team. You got Pivetta at 171 1/3, Cease at 151, and then you got Randy Vasquez at 123 1/3.
Right.
That's crazy. He's third on a team in innings pitched. Like, that's a great year from Randy Vasquez. Great year from Randy Vasquez.
Yeah, third on the team, and they sent him down, you know?
Yeah, you should have more.
You should have more in it. That's the point. By the way, just wanted to thank Grayson for watching. Says, a fan from Cleveland, Ohio, listen like every night until 1 a.m. and want to move to San Diego in the next year. Going to bed now. Good night, guys. Thank you. Thank you, man. You can always catch up, obviously, with the replay on YouTube or the podcast. Padres Pan, appreciate you, man. Thank you for the super chat. Says, when's the game tonight and Tuesday? Vibes are off. and crowd knows it. Lots of frustrated body language on field. Can't fool the fan base. In parentheses, shilt, sweep them. I mean, look at Manny. We have to get into Manny now. I mean, look at Manny.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's ever been a player that needs a day that's of the caliber of Manny Machado, it's Machado now. He needs it. He basically has earned it with his poor play, and you're playing the Rockies. You should be able to beat them without Manny. By the way, they do beat them without Manny because Manny's been awful, and they've been beating the Rockies over the last, you know, whatever, couple of weeks. So I think it's time. I think it's well past time. I think his body language is off. I think he is feeling it in a number of areas, mentally, physically. He's in his head. He needs a day, if not more.
2 for his last 29, 4 for 41 in September.
Was he 0 for 17 recently?
He's 0 for his last 16. Or maybe 17 because of Colorado.
Yep.
It's not good. The day you got to give him an off day in this series, and I think it's going to come Sunday, so you can give him 2 days there of rest before you start that 6-game road trip through New York and Chicago. But if they don't give him an off day in this series, you're running the risk of just really running this guy into the ground. I mean, he's already dead. And he's already dead tired.
He's so dead tired.
And his body language, his vibe, his attitude, his play in the field, at the plate, everything's off with Manny Machado right now. Everything. And
by the way,
you got to get him going.
I don't think he's going to take it.
You don't.
And I don't. Here's why I say it. This is why I thought it. Because I think he should take it. And I think everyone's pleading for him to take it. Here's why I don't think he's going to take it. The dude wouldn't take the shoulder surgery in 2023. He played every day until they were mathematically eliminated and they sucked.
You mean the elbow surgery?
Whatever the hell it was. I'm sorry, elbow. I'm tired.
Yeah, his tennis elbow.
When he had the elbow issue all year long, he couldn't throw.
Right.
He didn't have the surgery and they were under 500 in September.
Well, someone's going to have to step up and stand up to Manny. Too bad I don't think anybody has the balls to do that.
That's my point. That's my point. Exactly. Now, I could be wrong. I'm telling you, I think he puts his foot down and says, F off. If I'm not in the lineup, I'm calling AJ.
I thought Luis Arraez, Marty had a video of Luis Arraez, and I thought, let me pull this up here. There's a quote. I thought it was a very good quote from Luis Arraez. Talking about, getting benched or not playing every day, right? Luis Arraez says, I understand if he benches me or gives me a day off, I take it. He's the manager. I'm here to support the team to win games.
Yeah,
that should be the mindset of Manny Machado. Maybe it is, but we know Manny. We've heard things. We've seen, he's not very receptive to being told what to do and when to take a day off.
It's a great quote. I'm glad you mentioned it. You're right. That's a good quote. Maybe Manny will. I'm very skeptical. We'll see if he does. Let's get back to this conversation momentarily. Do need to thank our title sponsor here on the wrap-up show, Mark Nimitz, who has been a diehard Padres fan. Native to San Diego, has supported this channel since day one. Great insurance agent. You can take that from us. I've done business with Mark for 4+ years. He's going to save your family time and money if you ever need him. I had to file a claim a couple of years ago. He saved my family a ton of time and money. I've got homeowners, earthquake, and life insurance. Through Mark, he does auto as well. Before you renew any insurance policy you currently have, call Mark. Trust me. He will talk to you about the Padres. He's going to talk to you about the Padres as much as he'll talk to you about saving money on your insurance. And he's going to save you money on your insurance. So trust us. Mark is a terrific insurance agent. Day or night, he's there for you. Trust me on that. And click the link in the description down below. You'll get a free quote online. Call Mark. He'll talk to you about the Padres. He'll give you free quotes as well. So if you support this channel, please support Mark Nimitz, our title sponsor, Farmers Insurance.
Yeah, all his information is on that ticker below. MNimitz@farmersagent.com. When you reach out to Mark, let him know that John and Jim from the Wrap-Up Show sent you.
All right, let's continue on here. Please subscribe and thank you for the super chats. Padres beat the Rockies 2-0. JP Sears goes Friday night in game two. Padres technically 2.5 behind the Dodgers, 3 back in the loss column. And of course, they have to have one fewer losses than the Dodgers to win the division. So that's why we talk about basically 4 games back in the loss column with 15 to play for San Diego. Daniel, appreciate the generous super. He says, we got hot after the All-Star break last year and fizzled in the playoffs. This year, Tatis hid the juice for the last few weeks of the season, so we dominate in the postseason. LFGSD, love you guys. That's hilarious. I hope not, man. I hope not. I am encouraged. I'm happy for Tatis, truthfully, Jim, because he's worn some of this on his freaking sleeves this year. You can see how challenging it's been to not hit for power for Tatis for a good bulk of this year. So maybe he is beginning to find that, you know, power stroke again.
Yeah, you hope. I wouldn't say the guy like hot at the plate, though. Right. I would say that he's shown some pop recently, but by no means is he hot. You know, he's still in the terms of like, you just look at his numbers over the course of, you know, the last couple of weeks or so, and then nothing really pops out to you. I mean, 234 of the last 2 weeks, like, you know, it's meh. You know, 271 over his last 30. Okay. You know, if he was hitting 271 with like 9 home runs and 30 RBIs, like, okay. You know, 4 home runs is good. 18 RBIs, it's good, because we've seen him be worse than that, where it's like 1 home run and 5 or 6 RBIs, which he's had. So hopefully the power continues to get, you know, better and better for him, and he levels up before the postseason, because would anybody be surprised if Fernando Tatis Jr. just goes nuclear in the postseason? I wouldn't.
Be amazing, man. I mean, we've seen it. So, but it would be awesome to see it again. We can't necessarily count on it as a guarantee, but like you said, I wouldn't be surprised either. JD's third, thank you, man, for the super. He says, is 6 hits, 2 runs against the Rockies, pitchers and starter?
I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
With the 12 ERA good, Manny and Nando MIA, do we deserve playoff spots? Seems like we're limping in. They definitely deserve a playoff. They're not.
They deserve it.
They deserve it based on their play. I mean, they're not even right now the last team in, and they're 5 games better. Correct me, I don't know where they are. 5 or 5.5 games better than either the Giants or the Reds. So, yeah, I mean, they clearly deserve to be in if the season ended today. They don't deserve to be in if they get lapped by these teams behind them, but that hasn't happened. They have a 98% chance of making the postseason. They are almost a certainty to make the postseason. They have earned their way in my opinion.
Yeah, they should absolutely be a playoff team. They deserve to be a playoff team. Manny Machado is MIA right now. Yes. And look, the whole limping in thing. I mean, we've seen teams limp in before and go on runs. We've seen teams be hot, like the Padres last year, and they get, you know, shut out for 24 consecutive innings. Like, we've seen it all with teams limping in, teams being hot going in. So that to me, I don't know if we can like use that as like the reason why they might not win or go far in the postseason. But what I can use as a reason why they won't go far in the postseason is what we've been watching all year long with this team, which is the offensive struggles, the lack of power, and their poor play on the road, which, you know, season ends today, they're going to Chicago, and all those things would worry me more than them limping their way into the postseason, potentially.
Yeah, that's well said. By the way, Chicago team, it's 44-28 at home. So, and a Padres team that's well under 500, as we've talked about on the road. And again, today is a good example. I'm just looking. I mean, like JD's third set, I mean, they had six hits, and I'm just like looking at the box score right now. I mean, 1-for-5 risk. You know, they have not hit with runners in scoring position. That was evident tonight. They scored two runs.
One for the last 13 because they went 0-for-8 the other night.
That's what I'm saying. Like that, and that's who they've basically been. I mean, they haven't been inept like 2023, but they've been freaking bad. Yeah. They've been really bad with runners. I don't know what it is in baseball. I could look, but I mean, it's bottom 3-4 teams with runners in scoring position, or seemingly is. HBBBV, thank you, man. He says Mets are down like a New York subway rat. Needs a sweep. I think they've lost 6 straight, 7 of 8. The New York Mets. They
have a game and a half lead over the Reds and the Giants right now. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. I mean, here's what I would say. I agree with the sentiment that it's there for the taking, maybe, but the Mets really need it too. When they get back home, they're going to need those games badly.
So you're going to be facing a desperate Mets team.
For whatever it's worth.
For whatever it's worth.
Yeah, I mean, they've been up and down, kind of like the Giants, where like the Mets have had really good runs this year, and they've looked like one of the worst teams in baseball at times this year.
Yeah.
And by the way, they almost are identical to the Giants overall record, like you just said.
And the Padres, last time they faced the Mets, they swept them here at Petco Park.
That's right. That's when the Mets were rolling.
You hope that the favor isn't returned here starting on Tuesday night, because that would suck.
So that's so it's Mets, White Sox. Is that the order of the road trip?
Yeah. Mets. So 3 remaining against the Rockies, then 3 on the road with the Mets, 3 on the road with the White Sox, have another off day, come home, face the Brewers for 3, and then face the D-backs for 3 to end your season.
Okay. Okay.
And the postseason starts on October 30th. No, sorry, October 1st.
September 30th.
Yeah, whatever.
Same idea. I mean, you know, just to hone in for a second, 15 games to play, to hone in on that playoff conversation. Like you said, I mean, to not go to Wrigley, you have some real work to do. Again, enough time to maybe do it. We all would agree with that. 15 games is a good number of games. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you start looking at it, and you're going to have to play as well as they've played. You know, I mean, you're 3.5 behind the Cubs with 15 to play. You know, and you're 3.5 arguably behind the Dodgers, as we've talked about, because of this tiebreaker, whatever it is, 4 in the loss column. So is it possible? Again, this Lucy football thing, of course, is possible. But I'm going to have to see it from against teams more than just the Colorado Rockies.
Like, I would take 10-5 right now to finish up their season. It's 90 wins.
Right.
Problem is, you know, if you still want the Padres to win the division, I don't know if 90 wins is going to do it. And I don't know if 90 wins is going to get you the 4 seed.
Right. 10-5 means that if you go 10-5,
you're 90,
the Dodgers win the division going 8-8.
Right.
So I don't think that's enough, would be my guess. But maybe there's an outside chance.
10-5 is really good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, can you finish 11-4 with still these 3 games against the Rockies? You know, something like that. Give you an outside chance to maybe win the 4 seed or the division. Maybe is kind of the point. Right. Maybe. Sunriser, thank you, man, for the super. Says, LOL, we'll continue hoping Giants beat the Dodgers and leapfrog the Mets so we get the division win. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Jim, you've said it. I agree with the general idea that you got to root for the Giants to beat the Dodgers. No question about it. You got to play. You're thinking about teams in front of you, not behind you, is what I would say.
Yep. 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 If the Dodgers slip up this weekend, say the Giants go in there and pull off the improbable and sweep them.
Yeah.
And it's game on again. But as long as you take care of business against the Rockies.
Right. That's exactly right.
That's what you're hoping for. You're hoping that the Dodgers have another one of those, like, they just got swept.
Yeah. I mean, we're not far removed from, I remember when the Padres were up in San Francisco, and we're like, the Giants, for the first time since they moved from freaking New York, have lost like 10 straight home games. Like, we're not that far removed from the Giants absolutely sucking. And somehow on a dime, they've completely turned their season around. All right, guys, make sure to use our promo code the next time you're at a Lucky Box vending machine. I think they have a brand new website because I love it. Look at all that motion. on the screen over at Lucky Box. Listen, the last time I was at a Lucky Box, I picked up this Fernando Tatis Jr. Auto 10 card in Vegas. If you use our promo code, you're going to get $5 off. The promo code is Padres, all lowercase. And you can pick up a Fernando Tatis Jr. card, or maybe it's a Patrick Mahomes card, or Manny Machado, or Josh Allen, or whomever. You're going to get a mystery card if you want one, or a mystery Pokemon card, or a mystery autographed jersey. These are such cool vending machines. They're in Vegas. They're coming to Southern California. They're in other major metropolitan areas and other airports as well. Get $5 off with our promo code Padres, P-A-D-R-E-S, all lowercase. Check them out the next time you're in Vegas. They're now at Circa in Las Vegas, which is a terrific haven for sports fans. So the next time you're in Las Vegas and they're coming to Southern California, find a Lucky Box, take advantage, and use our promo code Padres, all lowercase.
Yeah, go to the website, luckyboxvending.com. You can sign up to be an exclusive loyalty program member. All you got to do is use your email and phone number. It's free of charge. Insiders, or subscribers, excuse me, get insider perks, early location drops, and exclusive giveaway opportunities like signed memorabilia. It's free, no cost necessary. Just sign up using your email and phone number at luckyboxvending.com.
Are you cool with just ride it out with Miller as the eighth inning guy? He's been so dominant. It's so late that they're not going to flip-flop it. It's not worth fighting over, so to speak. Just let Mason Miller be dominant in the eighth inning, and maybe that makes it all work.
Yeah. If I were to ask, though, hypothetically, in a postseason series, who would I want facing... let's just look at them. Hold on.
Ohtani, Betts, Freeman.
No, because I they might not even play the Dodgers. Stand by. Just looking at the lineup here. Yeah, so he's out right now, but. Who would you rather have in on the mound against Kyle Tucker, Ian Happ, Seiya Suzuki? Would you rather have Miller, or would you rather have Suarez?
Yeah, I get the point. I mean, Miller, just because of his stuff.
Yeah, it's all about situation. I think the top of the lineup's up, and you map it out. And the top of the lineup's coming up in the ninth inning, or their 3-4-5 hitters are coming up in the ninth inning. I mean, I would make the move to Miller. I mean, this guy is incredible. And that's why you got him. But they're not going to do that. I feel like.
Do you think because they don't want to rock the boat and put Suarez in a position he hasn't been in most of the year?
I just think it's Shilt. I don't even think it's rocking the boat. I just think it's Shield. Shield has a real hard time switching things up.
Like a rise.
Yeah, he just has a very difficult time switching things up. So it's not anything. I don't think it's anything to do with rocking the boat and having feelings be hurt. I think it's 100% Shield's ego and. Unwillingness to adapt. That's what I think.
I thought, and I agree with you, and I think some of these, he has such strong belief in his players, almost maybe to a fault. Mm-hmm. Like some of it I think is beneficial. I really do. He's kept this team afloat for 2 years. There's been rocky waters at times, and he's kept the thing going. But sometimes it's like, you know, Luis Arraez, he had an answer today to Kevin Acey. He's like, why do I have faith? He's a three-time batting champion. But, like, that's not overly relevant to his 2025. His batting title from 2024 is in lifting his batting average this year 40 points to his career average. Now, credit to Arraez today, three hits. He had an RBI, which hasn't been easy for the Padres, right? I actually thought Mike Shildt was going to get choked up today talking about Luis Arraez. I am not kidding when I say that.
I thought he was going to cry.
I thought he was going to cry post game. He wasn't. I think he was looking for the right words.
Yeah.
But again, I think players like Suarez, who's close for him for 2 years, Arise, who's been in his lineup for 2 years. I think to Mike that it's almost like they have this built up equity where I don't really look at sports like you're building up equity. Of course, a player like Manny Machado, I mean, the organization gave him the equity 7 years ago, literally with the money. But I don't look at built up equity. I look at what gives me the best chance to win. That's what I would do. Now, again, I don't manage. I don't have to deal with the relationship. So I get it. There's a part of it that we don't have to deal with. But I look at it differently, and I want to put my team in the best position to win, plain and simple. And I don't know if he's always doing that, but I give him credit for keeping the thing afloat.
Yeah, in baseball, there's times where you just got to ride the hot hand. And, yeah, like, you got to change things accordingly. If your six hitter is hitting 700 for you recently, guess what you do? You move them up in the order. Happens like, you know, I'm using an extreme example, yeah, but you get exactly my point. You know, you're not going to be like, you know what? I'm just going to keep him there, right? Like, no, you identify the hot player and you put him in a position to help the team out even more. Like, that's what it is. And when a player is struggling, you act accordingly. You know, are we going to continue to watch this guy struggle and hurt this team by his play? Or are we going to try to put someone else in that spot that, you know, can do better than that person?
Simple as that.
And I get the egos, and I get the fact that, you know, Manny's the highest paid player, and, you know, Mike Schilt cries when he talks about how great Manny Machado is and blah, 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 blah. And I'm not advocating for them to move him down in the lineup because I don't think that serves any purpose. But there are other guys in the lineup that he's okay with moving. So why is Luis Arraez the other player that you're like, I can't move the guy. I can't move him down in the lineup. Like, really? His WRC plus is below 100. He's below league average. What are we doing? I know he gets three hits a lot and he has, you know, a bunch of hits this season. He's hitting 30 points below his career average, and his OPS is barely over 700, which is right now. Let me look this up. Which is right now. Come on. As far as his career goes, his career OPS is 776, and his OPS this year is 707.
Wow. So he's off 69 points. Not nice.
And his career batting average, it's gone down. But he started the season with a career average around 320. It's now 316. Yeah. But when you're hitting 285, when you're a career 316 hitter, and your OPS is 707, when you're a career 776 OPS hitter,
big difference.
Yeah, it's great. That's great. He's won three batting titles. Is he winning a batting title this year?
Nope. No. Unfortunately, he's not. It's a good point. JD's third, appreciate you, man. He says, what has the offense done to inspire confidence in our playoff chances? Seriously, what have we been missing with this offense and not seeing? I don't know. I mean, me and Jim aren't the biggest advocates of this offense. I mean, I can't sit here right now and be like they're going to score seven runs every playoff game and slug their way, you know, through round after round after round. I mean, I think they have to win with pitching. I think they have to win with the Schilt formula. I think they can't fall behind 3-0. I think that's the goal. You get five innings from your starter, score a couple of runs, and sit on 2-1 leads a lot and hope that you can do that in the postseason. I think it's a hard formula. I think that's what they're hoping for. But no, I'm not expecting them to be the best offense in baseball this postseason because they haven't been in the regular season.
Yeah, the offense in the regular season, I don't feel like that switch is going to be flipped. And all of a sudden in the postseason, they're going to just be this amazing offensive juggernaut. I'm worried about their offense because it's they're going to be facing good pitching in the postseason. And unless they get like hot, I don't know if even if they get hot, I don't know if they can ride that out through an entire postseason. They can maybe ride it out through like a series or two, but I don't feel like they can ride out a hot stretch all the way to a World Series victory.
I mean, I'd love to see it, but yeah, it seems like it's asking a lot of the offense. JD's third follows up by saying Miller and eighth inning is only a factor if the offense scores runs. super bullpen is to hold leads. Can't do it if trailing in the playoffs. I mean, listen, if you go to Chicago and face Matthew Boyd, Shota Imanaga, I mean, you're that's a tall order, okay? So, and that's why there's no guarantee. I mean, you're going to switch things up. It's not like Mason Miller has to only throw eighth innings, but your point's valid. They lost to the Dodgers last year. Not their bullpen had no value in games 4 and 5. Right. They were trailing.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's not the case this time around. But, I mean, that's just how baseball works. We all know it. I mean, eighth inning guys, ninth inning guys don't have value if your team's not winning. Basically as simple as that.
And who knows? Maybe going into the postseason as an underdog and nobody's believing in them and people are kind of down on them and people are like, just like, oh, this is their offense is going to, you know, do them in. Maybe that's that'll do them good and they can just, you know, catch people off guard. And because that's what happened in 2022. You know, you go to a 100-win Mets, you play a 100-win Mets team on the road in New York, you play great baseball. And then you face a 100-plus-win Dodger team, you play great baseball. Now you, and then you played a also equally as nobody believed in us, like Phillies team, and the Phillies, they outslugged you, and, you know, they played better.
I hadn't thought about it. I had not thought about it in the terms you just said, that they'd be 2 100-win teams. I haven't thought about that in a while. The Mets, Dodgers, it's been a while since I thought about it like that.
They only won 89 games that year.
Yeah, that's wild to think about. Guys, try to get down to Petco Park maybe this weekend, see the Padres and the Rockies. This is one of the final few opportunities, obviously, this year, at least in the regular season, to see the Padres. And you can do it, and you can take $20 off your first purchase at SeatGeek with our promo code. So we've been able to come through for you guys. Use our promo code PADSWRAP, that's PADSWREP. You're going to get $20 off your first order of $50 or more at SeatGeek. You heard me right, $20 off your first purchase with promo code PADSWREP. All you have to do is click the link in the description to download the app and have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. And we do want to thank our friends over at SeatGeek. And listen, this is Friday night at Petco Park, right? And you're getting in for affordable prices. I mean, you're sitting in the 100 level, section 112 for $46, including fees. I mean, look at this,
like
$48, including fees. That's two tickets for $96. Take $20 off. You're in for $76 for two tickets on a Friday night with the promo code PODSWRAP. So take advantage, get to SeatGeek, and click that link in the description down below.
Yeah, all your tickets, they're fully guaranteed and instantly fulfilled in your account after purchase. Just use our promo code, as John said, PODSWRAP, PADSWRAP, for $20 off tickets at SeatGeek for your very first order using our promo code PODSWRAP.
All right, guys, appreciate you. Let's get to some of these super chats as the Padres beat the Rockies 2-0 again. Game 2 tomorrow night. JP Sears pitching for San Diego. HBBV, I don't know what this means, but I'm pulling it up. Is it super? He says, asking Matt Devine to do Mickey voice. Jim is grumpy. Okay.
Matt is from DSG.
But he's not here, right?
No. No.
Okay. Appreciate
I, like I said, HBV. I don't know, man.
We appreciate it, but yeah. James, thank you, man, for the membership and the super chat. Says the way Suarez has been this season, do you see him opting out or in after the season? He has an opt out, and his salary would only be $8 million next year. I don't see him opting in.
If I was the Padres, I would encourage him to opt out. Like, you can get a lot of money on the market, man. You can get a lot of money in the open market.
My thing with Suarez is, like, he's been fine. He was great tonight, you know?
He has those moments where he's like, that guy's unhittable. And then he has those moments where you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's, and like, they come in like the most inopportune time, too. It's like he's mowing guys down, walk, two-run homer, what?
Dude, it's so true. I mean, yeah, so I'm kind of cool with him walking. And by, I mean, kind of cool with him walking, I'm cool with him walking. I really am.
Yep.
By the way, the way this rotation now lines up with JP Sears starting Friday or tomorrow, depending on when you're watching this, Dylan Cease is Saturday, so he's been moved back. Yu Darvish is Sunday. And then Michael King is in New York against the Mets on Tuesday. Mike Schill talked about this today. The one thing that I find interesting, I like lining guys up. It makes sense. It's that time of year. King, 7 days between starts. And he just came back. So maybe that's just maybe that's beneficial because you're extra cautious and you just give him the luxury of time. But part of me, Jim, wants to see him establish some type of routine. And I understand in the postseason, if they're fortunate to like be moving on, there's not going to be a lot of like 7-day layoffs potentially in there for Michael King.
No, it is interesting. I still don't think he's fully healthy. I think he's just put on a front saying he's fully healthy, but could be wrong. I don't know. Looked fine. Looked, you know, in his last start. Yeah. Yeah, I hope it helps him. I hope it does. You know, we saw.
Do you think they did it for King, or you think they did it to line everything up? Or you think they did it for everyone?
I think they did it to one, line everybody up, and two, give everybody rest because, you know, they're going to push it here. That's my guess, is they might even skip some start, you know, after an off day and then go right into another guy, you know. Like they might skip a Randy Vasquez start.
Right.
And then they might have four guys here. I don't know. But that they give them the option to do that by doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have an issue with it. I just found it kind of interesting / curious that Michael King, who has pitched, you know, he's made two starts since May 18th. You know, one of them was two innings, yeah, and the other was good, you know, just a day or two ago, whenever it was, you know, it was good enough. And now it's one thing to give a pitcher an extra day. That's commonplace in today's baseball. Two extra days, it's fine. It just surprised me to some extent. And I do believe that if King enters the postseason healthy, he's your game two starter. I mean, maybe there's a scenario where he isn't, but that would surprise me. You don't want him not to be your game two starter. You don't want the wheels falling off. You have no other option as your game two starter. So like looking ahead 2 weeks from now, yeah, it's clearly Nick Pivetta one. It has to be Michael King game two. If it's not Michael King game two, you got problems.
Yeah. And even if they like won game one, I think you're still even going Michael King game two just to finish off the series.
Yeah.
You don't want to prolong this thing and be like, you know what, we'll just push Michael King back to game three and have C start game two. Like, no, finish it.
Do you like the idea of all the marbles start for Dylan Cease on the road, potentially, if it were to shake out that way?
No. No, that's not. That's scary.
Yeah, that is scary.
Let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
Would you sign up for a game three on the road right now with Dylan Cease starting?
I don't want to sign up for it yet.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because I know that they could still hopefully maybe do better than that. There's two ways to do it. Secure a home series or win in two. But I get it. Yeah,
I wouldn't sign up for it.
Yeah, I can't sign up for that. I realize it's a distinct possibility, but I'm not willing with 15 games left to sign up for. You know when I'll sign up for that? When they're the 5 seed down one game to none.
Then I would sign up for it.
I'll be like, yeah, sure. Get to game three and see what happens. Nope. What's the Bogey injury update? Just that he's doing baseball activities, I think, is the Bogey injury update. I haven't seen anything tonight. I think he'll be back.
I haven't seen anything tonight. I think he'll be back too. I just hope, and he has to wear like a splint or like some. He has to wear something in his shoe for his foot.
That's right.
So he's kind of he's trying to get comfortable wearing that or whatever it is in his shoe, his cleat.
Yeah, I forget what it's called, like a insert.
It's an insert, yeah.
Yeah, he's got to wear an insert. Listen, I mean, to his credit, I thought there was a chance he wasn't going to return, so it sounds like there's a pretty decent chance he's going to return, which is going to change their lineup once again here, potentially down the stretch. Real quick, guys, do want to remind you about our friends over at Underdog Fantasy, and if you use our promo code PADSWRAP, that's PADSWRAP, you are going to get a 50% deposit match up to $1,000. You're also going to get $50 in bonus funds when you play $5. And you're also going to get a free gimme pick, which is something like higher or lower than a half total plate appearance for Fernando Tatis Jr., which is a guarantee, for example. So they'll give you the the gimme pick, and then you just pair it with one other pick'em, and you can win up to 5,000 times your money in a single night. Just use our promo code by clicking the link in the description down below, and you're getting not one, not two, but three things. You're getting, again, $50 in bonus funds when you play $5, a 50% deposit match up to $1,000, and a free gimme pick thanks to our friends at Underdog.
Yeah, the QR code right here, scan it. It will take you to the App Store to download the Underdog Fantasy app. Once you do that, use our promo code to sign up. Podsrap, PADSWRAP. NFL season is here. Baseball season still underway. College football season underway. Plenty to play at Underdog Fantasy right now.
All right, join us tomorrow, guys. Let's do this thing again tomorrow on the radio. Kevin Acey will join us. Padres and Rockies will prepare for game two of their four-game series, and then we'll do it again, obviously, on the wrap-up show as well. We'll see if the Padres can make it back-to-back wins as they try to get closer potentially to either that four seed, that top wildcard spot, or closer in the NL West. We'll see what happens with the Dodgers and the Giants tomorrow in game one of their series. If you haven't subscribed, please do that for us. We appreciate you. Please smash the like button, and thank you for the super chats if you are here, or the super thanks if you are here on replay. We appreciate those that have been watching on replay. And please support our partners, Mark Nimitz, our title sponsor at Farmers, our friends at Lucky Box and Humble Casino, our friends at SeatGeek, and Underdog Fantasy as well. Randy Vasquez, the story tonight. Padres win 2-0. Jackson Merrill homers. And for Jim, I'm John. This has been the wrap-up show. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.